I'm Brandon.
And I'm Brandon.
And welcome to the very first episode of Backlog Breakout, where we get all of our back issues that we've probably not read, have sat there forever, single random issues that we have. Like, I have boxes of like independent issues that I've never touched, and they're just single random issues, or maybe just, you know, the first few in a series or just a random set, and I've never gone through them. And what other time to do it than with all of you together with me? And Brandon's in the same situation. We just have a bunch of comics.
Yeah, they're just sitting in the closet right now, like shoved into a corner.
And so we thought we'd make this show and kind of just go through our collection. And, you know, these are single issue books. They're all going to be, I'm assuming, you know, no more than 20 minute episodes, depending how deep we go. But let's have some fun and let's explore our collection a little bit more. We're kicking it off, and we pulled from my, it was kind of a long box roulette, as our good friend Casey called it. And I basically just pulled a random issue out.
Well, we last night we were like, all right, let's just go through and pick out like three books. And
yeah, we chose one out of the three. We both chose one from each of our collection. And actually, well, I chose three, Brandon chose three, and then he chose the book, and then I chose his book. And one of the books I got was Feeders by Shane Hawks and Mike Allred. It's a Dark Horse publication. And this came out in, I believe, 1999. Yes.
Yeah, it said 99.
Some unusual stuff about this book, Brandon and I were talking about. And, you know, we don't live in the same city. So we're doing this cross distance and whatnot over Zoom and everything. And the thing about it is that we try to find books that we can both read at the same time. However, we couldn't find any information about this book.
No, you know what? I did find it on eBay for like $4.99, and that's the closest I got to being able to get a copy.
Well, what's interesting too is that this is a prelude comic to a film that Mike Allred helped work on, and it's called Eyes to Heaven.
Which, you can't even find a Wikipedia article on it.
Can't find anything on this film. All I found was an IMDb page. It came out in October 1999. The same cinematographer that worked on Clerks, Mallrats, Chasing Amy. And for those of you who are Kevin Smith fans, you'll know that Mike Allred was involved with those films because he did a lot of the art. All the artwork you see in Chasing Amy, the comic book stuff, that's all Mike Allred. And you even see a Madman stuff in the background too and everything. It's pretty cool. But give us some specs on the film, Brandon.
To be honest, I literally can't even find like anything on this movie besides a few things on IMDb. One thing being director Shane Hawks, writer Shane Hawks. And of all people to be in this film, I just found out about this like 5 minutes ago, is Caitlin Olson as one of the characters. And for anybody out there who doesn't know that who that is Dee from Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah, super crazy.
Yeah, and this is like maybe 5 years before Always Sunny came out, I want to say, at least like the first episode.
Right, yeah, because that came out, so, you know, early 2000s for sure.
2005, yeah.
There you go, yeah.
So this is literally like 6 years before that show. So I'm guessing this is when she was still like, you know, trying to find some sort of like acting job somewhere, you know, like in film or TV. And I guess she just came across this role. And, you know, I even went on YouTube and I couldn't really find the movie, like any clips of it. You know what I got was JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
That's exactly what I got too. It's crazy. It's so weird to find something, especially nowadays, like where you don't have any trace of its existence, you know, like it's that obscure and that out of a find. But hey, that's why we have the show. There you go. We'll talk more about the movie towards the end, but you know, let's dig into this book.
I literally can't even look at it, so you're gonna have to.
Well, Feeders, you know, Mike Allred, he has very distinct art, and I feel like his lines and his inking, you just recognize it. Like, I recognize a Mike Allred piece immediately.
Oh, 100%. And, you know, he's worked on a lot of great stuff. If anybody knows, he did Bug, the
Adventures of Forger.
Or yeah. Adventures of Forrester, Forger, on The Young Animal. But, you know, Bug is like a Apocalypse character, I think, or New Gods character.
New Gods, yeah, he's on the planet below New Genesis.
Yeah, and it was
a worker.
It was worked on by all three Allreds.
And it's a Kirby love letter. We'll do that episode soon.
Yeah, it's only so three good. Issues, and that's then
six.
Six?
Yeah.
Oh, my bad. I read it when it came out. It's been a long time.
And actually, then, if you Google that book and my name, you will find me review almost every single issue on a website I used to write for called Comics.
There you go.
There you go. There's a plug.
And then one last thing I want to plug in was one of my favorite shows of all time. I don't care what anybody tells me. I love this freaking show so much. And that's iZombie. And he is the co-creator of that comic it's based off of.
Oh, nice.
You didn't know that?
No.
Or did you? Really? Wow. Dude, I don't watch a lot of TV shows. I love iZombie.
I never looked into it.
Oh.
You know what? It was a Vertigo book, right?
It was a Vertigo book, yeah.
Oh, wow. You know,
yeah, I know. Nobody knows
like
that.
Promo work. I thought it was like promo artwork, actually.
Oh, no, like, dude, it... I know I'm going on a tangent here, but since we're talking about Allred real quick, the book is kind of like the basis for the show, but they're both completely different stories. But what's awesome is he helped produce the show and he drew a lot of the like, I guess you could say like images that are like used in the show's promotions and kind of like also, what do you call it? Like when it's going to a new scene, they use like artwork to like get you through it and all that.
Oh, wow. I got to check that
from
out.
From Allred.
I didn't know.
Yeah, it's over, but like, it's a good show. But yeah, he's
also,
big.
Maybe I could be wrong, but I know that Mike Allred's son is making a documentary and it's called Space Face. Did you back that up on Kickstarter? I did. That's why.
I had no idea that was coming out, I'll be honest.
Oh, well, then I'll watch it with you when it finally comes out. but Space Face is a documentary on Mike Allred. And Mike Allred has a lot of... It's really hard for him to make artwork because, you know, he literally has symptoms. I hate to call it a disability of any sort because it's really not. But it is something that, like, cripples him when he does work. And the thing is, like, Mike Allred's work is so... like cosmic without even trying to be, and beautiful and spacey, but it's literally because he goes through these phases where Mike really isn't on this planet. Like, to be completely literal, he just isn't on this planet sometimes, and his artwork kind of comes out of that. And when you look at, you know, his Silver Surfer work, what was the other book he did, Ecstatic, stuff like that, like, you really can see how amazing his imagination is. And that's literally because he just goes through these insane, I'm not too sure about like the right phrasing on it, but just like these mental trips, and it's, you know, it really does affect him like emotionally and mentally, and it's hard for him to come back from it. But that's what this whole entire documentary is going to address, Space Face, and it's going to be coming out soon. I think a lot of the backers, like, I got my t-shirt and my pin and everything on that. But it's going to be really interesting. And he's such a great artist. Like, I can't wait to discover more about him. And all, you know, his son is doing the soundtrack and all these interviews. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, it was supposed to be done last year, but COVID destroyed all those plans because he was going to fly out and talk to all these artists and writers and collaborators. But we'll see what happens with that, too. But the thing is, Mike Allred's amazing. So let's dive into this issue real fast. And, you know, I really do like this book because it's, you know, the front cover, for one, it says A Nightmare in Widescreen. And upon reading this book, the first time I read through it, it was kind of hard to understand. You know, we open up, there's two characters, a nun and just like this other guy that seems to be, it seems like a mental hospital, but it's kind of like Daredevil when he wakes up in bed and there's like his mom, like the nun, like looking over him and caring for him and everything. That's exactly where this character wakes up in. But she has this, you know, this cross with like a dagger at the end of it. And she's looking up to this, you know, what would be a crucifixion, Christ crucified on the cross, but he's all like mummified and wrapped up. And it's really like, it's super a weird just setup, you know, it's like a church room, there's candles everywhere. And when you turn the page, this full page splash, it shows the nun walking away, and there's all these ghosts to the side of her, and she's checking up on this patient, and he's an artist trying to, you know, that's kind of had a mental breakdown of some sort. And this whole entire comic is really about the writer. I believe his name, what was it? Shane. He was watching this documentary about like dust mites and how they're always all over you and you never even realize it. And he got this feeling and he just like was writing the script and just felt like the dust mites on him. And he got this whole idea of that when people get cancer or get sick, it's because something is draining their soul out of them and that's causing them to be sick. And that's basically what this whole little prelude story to the film that I don't know if we'll ever get to see is about. And this nun, apparently she's one of these ghosts and she has to kill and stab these people while they're in these hospital beds. And she just sucks their soul out of them and she gains back her physical form. She's going to this guy that's, you know, been admitted, and he apparently can like see these ghosts and everything as well. And the only way she can save him is she like stabs herself in the chest and like right above her chest, like, below, you know, around her collarbone, she cuts herself and this milk like liquid comes out, and she just places this guy like on her chest, and he like drinks this milk blood liquid out of her body. And he ends up being okay, but he goes on this giant trip, and the only person he can see is his sister on this trip, and that's the only person he's able to draw too. And this nun is just like, it's a really trippy story, you know. It doesn't really give a lot of context. It's very kind of poetic in that sense, and it being a prelude to this film. And the director wanted it to connect to the film as well. Like he wants standalone stories, but for them to be part of a larger piece. And this guy, apparently, you know, it's super hard to, it's such a bizarre, like, book.
Such a strange book.
it's just the description. He, you know, he basically gives his little background story, how he was trying to be an artist and trying to break out of it, but nothing was like taking away like his pain or anything. And he would just keep on drawing his sister, and he created this like crown of horns and placed it on his head. And that's kind of where we wound up in general. And that's how he was admitted to this hospital. But, you know, the first like half of this comic flows really well and everything makes sense. But when it gets to this third act, it kind of loses, I guess, the storytelling aspect. You really don't know what's going on. There are some weird transitions that make you kind of lost as a reader, but, you know, the artwork is really what saves it in that sense too, because at the bottom of the panels, what's very interesting about this book is that the gutters are all black. We typically see them as white in a traditional comic book, but they're all black in this book. So I love that. And at the, you know, towards the end, we see these hands coming up as kind of like the ghosts that are chasing this nun that's absorbing the souls. And as you turn the pages, the hands slowly, and this is about the third act in, start making their way onto the page more and more and more. And it leads us into the nun basically being attacked and by her own people that she was basically stealing souls from. It's a super trippy ending, and it's kind of very David Lynch-ish. Even the artwork gets very distorted. It kind of looks like an image that, you know, if you adjust the size of an image and all of a sudden everything looks scrunched up, that's what the artwork starts to look like after a while. But I don't know if Mike Allred did that digitally at this time, or maybe that's just like the way he drew it. But essentially all these ghosts kind of just capture this nun after this guy explains his backstory and he has this weird trip, and they end up coming for her. Super trippy, very odd first choice. Very interesting first choice for sure. You know what I mean? But the whole thing is that they wanted to base all the promos saying that reality is an illusion. And this is just basically for low, actually a low to no budget horror flick that was about what, like 88 minutes long, I want to say, the IMDb.
Yeah, it wasn't even that long. It was like under 90 for sure.
So, you know, essentially the feeders are basically just like these ghost demons, and they attach themselves to us and eat our life force. And that's what's going on in this book. And this nun captures life force because she's one of the feeders. So I think it does tie into the book a bit more, and I mean the movie a bit more, to really explain like what the concept was behind all this. But you know what, as far as it goes, storytelling, it's really great. I want to say towards the third act kind of loses us and we're a little bit confused, but like I said, it has that David Lynch feel, so you're kind of left to ponder about it for a minute. But it's weird, the coloring too, it's black and white with like blues, like a very odd tint of blue in it, and that's it, that's the only coloring we get. And I think that's what makes Mike Allred's work pop out so much in this issue, is that weird coloring to it, and it gives it a very eerie feeling. And these ghosts are, man, just creepy. But man, I don't know what else to say about it other than then if you have this book, check it out. I don't know how many of copies of this book exists. Like, it's such an obscure like title.
It doesn't seem too hard to come by, because again, on eBay it was like $5 with like $4 shipping, so it's not the worst, obviously. If you look for the movie, you get no matches on eBay at all, and the first suggestion you get is All Dogs Go to Heaven.
Wow.
So obviously the movie is even more obscure to come by, and I mean, your guess is as good as mine where you can find it, honestly.
Yeah. Well, that's what this is for, to find these obscure issues and finally get our hands on them and to look over them. But that's our first episode for, man, what do we call the show? Backlog Breakdown. We thought of this like right before.
Breakdown? Breakout? It's still in the works. Let us know what you guys think.
Yeah. Well, Brandon, thanks for hanging for this interesting moment.
Thank you for showing me this book.